What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/new book and get your copy today.
Welcome back to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. This is Russ Morgan. Today, we're going to be breaking down the 5 different areas of what you need to have in order to build passive income on your path to becoming financially free. We're going to go around the room. We're going to talk about and debate which one of these options is the best way to do it, as well as we're going to determine whether or not you actually have to have all 5, or can you get it done with just 1? We're going to do all of that right now.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome back. We are talking financial freedom. I'm your host, Russ Morgan, the idea guy. I'm sitting around the table with the best coaches on financial freedom that you can find, even including my partner, the Italian Stallion. He's back. He's come back. Mr. Joey Murray, how are you, Joey?
Man, never better. Never better, Russ. Thanks for having me back.
Man, I didn't think you were ever coming back. Like, that was a 3-week tour. You know, there was a show I used to watch called Gilligan's Island when I was a kid. And I was like, you had taken the Gilligan's Island of RVs.
Yes, that would be a fair statement. However, our RV's name is not the SS Minnow. It is Cousin Eddie. So, yeah, that's the only difference.
Hey, you've got something that makes it the Cousin Eddie that's unique. You got to share with us.
Yeah. So, by the way, this is really exciting. I'm gonna share. The RV is now on the rental market, and the group that I'm working with that's managing it, they said, you know, we have to name all of our RVs. What is the name for yours? And I was like, is Cousin Eddie already taken? Like, is that what any of the other ones? I mean, that's like the obvious name for me, and it's because my wife created this little welcome mat for the RV, and we pulled it out at each stop. You wipe your feet before you get into the RV. It says, now don't go falling in love with it, Clark, because it's going with us next month when we leave. Signed, Cousin Eddie. It's literally a quote from Christmas Vacation. And so anyway, yeah, it's the whole package. If you want to check it out, you guys can rent it. I mean, it is live at Overland Adventures here in Helena.
So overlandadventures.com gets you the Cousin Eddie special.
That's right. Actually, overlandadventurerentals.com. That's the actual website.
There you go. It does not shock me that we messed that up. All right. Well, let's stop listening to you. I want to get back to the guys who've been here for the last 3 weeks. They've got a lot more interesting things to talk about as it pertains to financial freedom and the topic of hand, which is what are the 4 things which are required to build passive income. So to the right, Mr. Downtown Ernie Brown. How are you today, Ernie?
I'm so good. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you, man.
Hey, by the way, you know, you could call it Cousin Eddie. Jay just put it in the chat of this thing. You might want to consider renaming that thing to Snots, too.
I love it. Been nosing through the trash. Let's talk to our resident pilot, the man that can get you home financially safely, the Gooch, Mark Haraguchi. How are you today, Mark?
Good, guys. How are you?
How's things on the West Coast these days? You staying out of the fire?
It's starting to get there's a little hint of barbecue in the air. Winds are shifting, and I'm supposed to be out and about, and hopefully the winds will keep pushing the smoke away from us as opposed to towards us.
Yeah. Well, good to see you today, by the way. Your outfit is very coordinating with the backdrop.
Trying to camouflage.
Par for the course.
All right. Last but not least, Mr. Incredible, the man with a $1 million smile, Mr. JD Hill. How are you today, JD?
You know, I brushed my teeth this morning because I knew we were doing the podcast. And I knew I was going to be smiling a lot. So I'm doing really good. I'm doing real good.
All right. Let's dive into this thing. I teased it a second ago. I said there's four things that are required to build passive income. And I don't know if there's a number one, but I'm going to give you guys a chance and we'll come back and let you defend your answer. So, JD, what do you think the number one thing that is required of someone to build passive income?
That's a tough question because there's so many things. But for me, I would have to say experience.
How about you, Ern?
I'm going to go with opportunity. You need opportunities.
Like you need opportunities or you have opportunities?
I'm just saying you can't build any passive income if you don't have any opportunities.
Okay. Joseph.
Something that I have come to love more and more over the years is time. It is fleeting. If you don't have time, you can't build passive income, and you it's absolutely critical.
Well, I love that. This is like the final round of Family Feud. You guys are doing a good job of not picking the other answer everybody else has. I'm good with that. How about you, Mark?
I'm going to take an educated approach and say education.
Ooh, very smart. Very smart.
Mark is always smart.
Well, here's one that you guys left out, which I think is the obvious one, is got to be money, right? Like, don't you have to have money to make this thing happen?
I don't know. Yeah, it's overrated. Yeah.
That's not my number one. And the question was, what's my number one?
That's right.
All right.
It's certainly important.
Let's put this to these responses to the test. I'm going to come back to you, JD. You said experience. Sell me on why experience is the number one thing required to build passive income.
Look, there's no shortage of opportunities in the marketplace on how to create passive income. You know, what's interesting is I think a lot of these things that everybody has said you can actually borrow. But the thing about experience is I either have to go learn it through education, like what Mark said, or I have to go through the school of hard knocks and experience it myself to learn through experience. Or you can actually borrow somebody else's experience. So somebody else's that spent the time learning how to do this, that's an expert in this particular space of whatever it is that you're trying to get into. And so I think experience is so vital to whatever element that you're going into, and whether that's your own personal experience or experience from somebody else. But if you don't know what you're doing, right, the ins and outs, the potential pitfalls, how to evaluate what it is that you're getting into, that experience could potentially lead to losing money. Experience was the number one thing for me on anything that's going to related to passive income.
So let's talk about your experience, right? Like you've had, obviously this is important to you. How did experience help you build passive income?
When I first got into doing real estate, for example, so one of the things that we do, which is not too passive, but it's created opportunities to create passive income, is house flipping. I knew nothing about house flipping, and I had a client, has now become a great friend of mine and now my business partner, who was doing house flipping. He's also a licensed realtor. And so he had the experience that I needed, but I also had something that he needed, which was access to capital. I sit, fortunately for me, for years, I've sat across from people that have resource. And so in order for him to expand his business, he needed access to capital. In order for me to get into the space of real estate, I needed the experience that I didn't have. But what I did have was what he needed, which was capital. And so I just bridged the gap. And so I helped raise funds for him. And that's what created then the opportunity for us to start collaborating and working together using both of our strengths. And I borrowed his experience to get into the real estate space.
Mark, how do you think experience differs from education then? Because you said education was your number one. Like, help me see or compare and contrast what JD's saying and what you're saying.
Education can lead to experience, and experience can lead to education. So if I want to learn how to fly an airplane, they're not just going to give me the keys and say, good luck, let us know how it goes. No, they're going to say, hey, here's a book. Why don't you read some stuff first? Why don't you create a foundational understanding. And now let's take that foundation and let's apply it and let the application be the experience, which is also continuing education. Growing up, my dad, who was full of sage wisdom and moments, well, he went and found this plaque and he put it in my room and it showed a rat with a rat trap. And the rat is looking at the rat trap with a piece of cheese. And the caption says, good judgment comes from experience. But then right next to it says, experience comes from bad judgment. So you can get your education one way or another. Like JD said, you can go out and you can learn how to do something. You can jump into the short-term rental market and try and run through it all on your own. Yeah, you will get a ton of experience as well as a phenomenal education. Or would you like to leverage, more effectively utilize your time, leverage someone else's education and experience, garner that, and then now apply it to time and money and resource that you have to be more, that much more efficient. So that's why I think the education, because if you don't know how to use your time, your money, or the experience, you're just spinning your wheels.
So talk about an experience where education was important, you know, to your journey of passive income.
Man, you're going to go there, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, well, everybody start peeling off Benjamins because this one's going to hurt. So I went and paid for a course because I felt like I didn't want to spend the time trying to figure out how to do short-term rentals. So I paid for someone else's course. It was about 10 grand, went through the whole course, learned all the stuff, had a great education out of it. But as I started to apply it, I realized, wait a minute, this is not where I want to be. I don't want to do this. But that $10,000 down payment for that course, for that condensed period of time, was totally worth it for me to get the experience and the education to know that that was not an avenue that I personally wanted to have my hand in.
That hurts. That hurts for you. I hurt for you. 10 grand? Man, yeah. we would got you in a mastermind for a fraction of that. I mean, yep. JD got through it, like, right?
But hey, that is such a great point, Mark, is that you're literally, I liken it to opportunity cost, right? Education, it costs money, whether you pay for it on the front end or on the back end, and it could have been far greater on the back end. So, I mean, that's a great point.
Still hurts.
All right, Ernie, talk to me. You said that opportunities were the key to creating passive income. Sell me as to why that's number one.
That's right. That is the number one thing that you need. And by the way, if you're keeping score and you're trying to keep up with these things, I came up with an acronym. Woke up about 3:30 this morning and it came to me. You just remember, you just need a moat. You need money, opportunity, you need time, and you need experience or education. So you want to remember that. We got a moat. But opportunity is what you need. And here's what I'm thinking. I just remember a few times. This is a party question. This is a question to ask your kids. You've probably been asked this question, and for the average person, right? This you probably know the answers because maybe you had these answers at one point yourself. Is if you won the lottery, or if you realized that you had a rich uncle that was outside the family, and he willed you his entire estate, and you woke up the next morning and had $1 million or $10 million or $100 million, what would you do with it? How would you spend it? Joey, have you ever been asked that question?
I have.
Yeah, I think that's a fairly common question. And so here's what I'm thinking. I think it's Robert Kiyosaki who says this: $1 million deals pass under our nose every day, right? But the average person isn't looking for them. Mm. So JD said there's not a shortage of opportunities in the marketplace. I agree. But I just don't think that we're looking at it, because you ask that question to most people. If you had $10 million in your bank account, you woke up, what would you do with it? I don't think the answer is for the average person would have a lot to do with building wealth. It would be spending, it'd be giving, it would be investing, but not necessarily investing in things that create passive income. Would you agree?
Yeah,
totally. Now, the thing I don't agree with though, Ernie, is that having opportunities is the number one. Because how do you know that an opportunity looks like an opportunity? How do you know that that's a $1 million opportunity under your nose if you haven't been educated about what a deal looks like to tip my hat to Mark.
You mean if you don't have the experience to know if it's an opportunity?
The only way to have experience on opportunities is to look at opportunities. You have to have opportunities to evaluate opportunities.
Need money in order to know if you could even do the deal? Like, people, how many, just a question for the group, just ballpark the answer for me. The guy panhandling on the side of the road, how many opportunities is he looking at in the passive income world?
They're passing right by the road every single day. He just doesn't know what he's looking at.
I agree with that, but don't you need money?
No, you don't. That guy obviously has no money, okay, that's panhandling. But what does he do? He has time. To my point, I mean, let's just go there.
Can you work out a seller finance deal with zero money down?
Yes.
Do you need any money to execute that deal?
I'm just going to say, I'm not going to do the seller finance guy when he shows up looking like the caddy from, you know, Happy Gilmore, though.
We a couple of years ago got this Airbnb at the beach, and the person that we rented the property from did not tell us that they were listing that on the market. And so we're just hanging out inside of this condo or whatever it was. And we got a knock on the door, and it's this lady coming to look at the place that we're staying in. She said, "Can we come in and look at this?" He said, "No way." So we waited for a real estate agent to show up, and he was dressed straight out of the Caddyshack, man. He had on the plaid shorts and the tennis loafers. I had like Louis Vuitton symbol on it. And we're not having this. So I agree with that right there, Russ.
Yeah. All right, Joe, you're trying to make a case for time.
Mom,
let's hear it.
It's all about time, gentlemen. Education. Can you get it overnight? Heck no, you can't. It's time. It takes time. Can you get experience without time? Absolutely not. You have to have time invested. In fact, if it were up to me, if I had more time, if I wasn't that guy that was literally 60 hours a week, slinging mortgages all the time and going on vacation with my phone attached to my hip and not being able to spend time with my kids because I was constantly at work, mentally or physically or both, then how much more time could I have invested in the education process of getting us to where we are today? I mean, the amount of time I had to invest in going to different seminars with Nelson Nash, like Russ got tired of seeing me. I was there as much as I possibly could. Going to think tanks, going to all these different things to understand infinite banking. And then since then, how many hours have we spent, Russ, on podcasts with experts in passive income to learn what a deal looks like and what would be good for our investor DNA? The amount of time is absurd. And so if I had more time, I could have leapfrogged from 10 years or whatever it took to get to financial freedom to much, much faster.
If you've listened to our show for any length of time, you've heard us talk about infinite banking and how we were able to use that concept to create over $50,000 a month in passive income. But it's just not that easy to figure out, how does this all connect into my own personal system?
Stallion, that's why we created the Passive Income Operating System, bro. It shows you how to turn active income into passive income. It makes all the steps come together. If you would like to get access to it as a podcast listener, we've never given this away in public before, go to whatswhatwallstreet.com/PIOS. There was nothing worse than walking into class when you're in school and the teacher saying, "Pot quiz day." Why? Because you were unprepared. Are you unprepared though for financial freedom?
Don't be. Find out how close you are by taking our 30-second quiz at wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/quiz.
It took a lot of time for me to stack up dollars to take advantage of opportunities, for us to start building our short-term rental portfolio, for us to start building the mining computers. It took time to get enough money for us to do it, but it took money. You know, like whenever they were like, "Hey, by the way, these computers are $10,000 a piece. How many of these do you want to pay for?" And I was like, "Well, can I give you experience instead? How about some education?" would you like some time on your hands? They were like, no, I want dollar bills.
So that's, so I just called JD up. You know, that's all I did.
That's right.
On
so
on,
easy.
On Russ's theory, then everyone who wins a Powerball should be set for life, but yet surprisingly they're not. So I say that instant money or just money in and of itself, probably not the key to success here.
Oh,
and by the way, Joe, you know what time bought you? Experience. Just so we're clear.
Hey, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not disagreeing that experience comes with time. You got to have time first, though. I'm just saying, this is first.
Well, there's
building passive income. How is it that some people are able to build so much passive income in this amount of time? And for some people, it takes this amount of time to build the same amount. Everybody gets the same amount of time in a day. I don't think that it's time because everybody's got the same amount of time. Not everybody's got the same amount of money or access to money, but the same experience. And definitely people's ability to evaluate opportunities, create opportunities, find opportunities. They definitely don't have that. That's clearly number one.
Well, and here's something else just to prove that the money point is a fallacy. I mean, it's really, you got to have money in some instances, but for almost 2 years, we have almost not $1 into any of our deals.
How does that hit, Russ? I mean, how are you doing right now?
Well, I mean, clearly there's creative ways to invest. And my guess is that in order for JD to come up with that approach, he had to have some level of money invested to get him that information and knowledge, right? So where Mark is saying education, he had to spend some time educating himself, but usually education comes from some level of money, right? You had to support yourself while you were learning.
Wait a minute. You're talking about, hey, you have to have a J-O-B to have money just to live on while you educate. Dude, this is a stretch.
Come on.
It's
Come
getting on. Bad.
Oh. It's getting deep. It's getting real deep.
All right. Well, here's the thing is, I agree. I mean, by the way, the inner circle chat right now is strong to quite strong.
It's blowing up.
I would just love to be able to just stop and just repeat some of the comments that's coming out of there. And I will disagree, Mark. You made a comment in the chat that Joey's phone on his hip proved that he didn't have education. I'm going to say the opposite is true. That was a sign that Joey was a valedictorian right there. Like, that was I can assure you, as someone who finished in the bottom third of my high school graduating class, there's never been a time where a phone hit my belt.
Ever.
So I'll just share this one tidbit. When I was just starting out in my aviation career, it was a 3-person crew. You had a captain, a first officer, and a flight attendant because it was a smaller jet. And if you look at the three incomes on that airplane, you had the captain who made the most, then the first officer, and the flight attendant who made the least amount of money in that scenario. Guess who had the most expensive, up-to-date, flashy new phone? It was the person who was bringing in the smallest paycheck. And then you looked at the captain who had the biggest paycheck, and he had like the old school, you know, like flip phone that you probably had to like, you know, pan crank it just to get the battery juice to go.
Yes.
And so it was just an interesting dynamic of where we were all putting our time and our resource. And I think if we look at this, the different ideas, they're all going to play together, which I think is the sum of the story. This is like a recipe, like Gabrielle said. You've got to use a little bit of everything. You've got to have some time. You've got to have some education. You've got to have some experience. And if not, you're going to get some experience. But if you don't have those things and you cannot be able to educatedly evaluate or even see or find opportunities, you need all of these pieces to really make it work in some way, shape, or form. And you can leverage some parts to compensate for deficits in others.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I would say, you know, our mentor, Nelson Nash, he had a famous kind of quote that he would have during these moments. And it's fair to say what you're kind of reiterating, basically what you said there, Mark, is that in a joint venture, you have two parties. You got one with money and one with experience. And at the end of the time, at the end of the deal, they switch places. let that sink in. I would say that is a fear and a concern. So I'm gonna back up my point. I want each one of you guys to play devil's advocate on your own number one, and I'll start, right? So here's the thing about money. I think that is the crutch that so many people hold on to is, well, I don't have enough money, so I can't create passive income.
Preach.
And JD is a great example of saying, hey, I've done deals for 2 years and never had money. We've interviewed Chris Prefontaine, Jeff Stevens, so many different people that talk about creative finance and how you don't have to have money, right? But also, I would say from the money perspective, that just because you have money doesn't give you the ability to create passive income, because I've seen so many people press the easy button, hand the money over, and get taken, right?
Dude, they've got a target
rate at taking your money and you being the person who is taken. And even off Wall Street, you get into deals because if you're the person there, if you show up with the shiny shirt at the Rio event, right? You know, the real estate investment conferences that happen in your town, and you're the one that shows up bright and shiny with cash in your pocket. And what's the old adage? When you're at a poker table, if you don't know who the sucker is, you're it. People that show up with cash at a Rio event end up being the sucker sometime if they don't understand deals. You better show up as a blue jeans and a torn t-shirt and go try to get some experience before giving your dollars away. I'm willing to go, you know, show the ugly side of mine. How about you, Joe? You willing to tell me how time is not necessarily the best thing all the time?
All right. Well, I will say this. If you allow time to be the thing that keeps you from making a decision, right? Like, you procrastinate or you put it off and you say, well, I just need more time. I need more time. I don't want to make a mistake, which there's plenty of us, me included, who have some hesitancy on deals that I should be able to move forward on. But I just kind of like, I don't know. You got to take the leap sometime, and you have to make an educated guess. But at some point you have to get up off the ground and do something. And so time can be your enemy if you allow it to.
Would you also say that some people procrastinate a lot and they say, well, I don't have time. Like, I'm just always working. I'm just always busy.
No, you're totally right. In fact, I'll point out to Adam Egloff's interview. You know, he's a perfect example. He's like, man, I just gave up watching TV. I just gave up I got up earlier so that I could spend time in my land flipping business. And I figured it was worth it to trade, you know, those 2 or 3 hours a day on the front end and the back end of work so that I could have freedom forever for a short, you know, I trade those for a short time so I can freedom forever. Like, that is absolutely wisdom.
All right. How about you, Ern? Let's talk about opportunities, right? You can have all the opportunities in the world. What's the backside of that though?
The thing I think about is, I mean, you can't build passive income without opportunity. I'm not going to give that one up. But in the order that you go, the opportunity is the last thing that you deploy to create that. You do need a time of evaluation. You do need to gain experience or borrow upon somebody's experience. You either need to build your own cash or have access to somebody else's cash. And you need an education. Or somebody else's education.
Here's an interesting thing. I knew a guy that was a big gambler for a long time, lost a bunch of money, and told his wife he'll never do it again. But every Friday afternoon when I would see him, and this was when I was a kid and I worked at this old restaurant, he would be over there making his bets on paper. He actually wasn't ever placing them. He was a college football junkie. He's placing his bets, like these hypothetical bets that he would make, but he wasn't making them. And he was like going through the experience. And then at the end of the weekend, he would be able to size up how he did, you know, whether he didn't win or lose any money, but he was playing a game. I think that's kind of what you're saying there too, Ernie, with opportunities, that there's opportunities that maybe you can hypothetically evaluate, that maybe you're not ready for the opportunity. But go through the process. Like when Joey and I were looking at buying a pretty large, a 7-figure e-commerce business, we went through a lot of steps, right, Joey?
Sure enough.
In that process, we evaluated the opportunity. We ultimately didn't end up getting the deal, but going through the steps taught us so much. I think that that's really wise. All right, Mark, talk a little bit about education, because sometimes people can overanalyze deals and never take action.
I think this answer goes for everybody, right? Everything in moderation. Too much of one thing is bad. Too much time is bad. Too many opportunities are bad. Too much experience and too much education. If you're at the point where you're like, all right, well, you know what? I just need to read one more book because, you know, I'm not quite sure. I don't have it all 100% figured out. So I'm going to take some more time and read some more. And I'm going to do. And so now you get into analysis paralysis, which is what I think Joey was alluding to with time. And it's going to happen with everything. If you don't have a way to figure out, you know what? Kind of like Gabriel said, just jump off the board. Sooner or later, you're going to have to trust that the pool is deep enough and that the water is going to slow you down before you hit the bottom. Unless you want to sit there and figure out the physics of how high I jump versus gravity versus inertia versus the friction that will happen when I hit the water, which will create a deceleration point. And how long can I hold my breath underwater? Well, the average person can hold their breath. You know what? Why don't I do some more research on how long I can hold my breath underwater? And what's the best way to tread water if I'm underneath water and I come up? How can I stay afloat? Get out of the rabbit hole. There's enough education to be dangerous. And then there's, you know, tons of education, but don't put yourself into the box where you end up with analysis paralysis and you feel like you've got to be the master of it. Because like Ernie said, you don't necessarily need to be. You can leverage other people's education. You can leverage other people's time, and I can surely leverage other people's money.
All right, JD.
Solid. Yeah, so to wrap it up from an experience standpoint, I mean, again, I'm still heavy on the experience side, but here's something that I think a lot of people don't put a lot of emphasis on is that too much experience, I think, can lead to ego issues, right? It can make you think that you're smarter than you really are. And so you may end up taking a risk that you shouldn't have taken. You may have blind spots and now you're not even looking at that you used to look at before. And so experience can lead to ego problems, and ego problems can ultimately lead to your downfall, to your destruction. And so I think, again, what we're saying is like everything is in moderation, right? You got to have all of them. Absolutely. They're all vitally important to everything. A lot of them can be borrowed. Absolutely, Ernie, arrival syndrome. But when you start getting to that place where it's like, man, I've got this figured out, that's when you're in trouble.
Let's say to that point, and if you're evaluating deals and evaluating opportunities, sometimes you find somebody that you're partnering with that maybe you've evaluated the opportunity, you've done your education with it, and now you're investing maybe with that person on a deal. And you're like, this person's super solid. What I would say to your point, to back up what you just said there, is that you better keep following up to make sure that person is continuing to do the same due diligence and using the same methods that they were using before. Because like you said, sometimes people get lax and things don't get done. And, you know, notes aren't procured like they were supposed to be. Deeds are not filed the way they should be. And you end up getting exposed in opportunities that don't follow up their subcontractors the way they used to, right? The management company isn't, you know, getting the new tenants in. The contractors are not trying to be as competitive on everything that they put in the property, whatever it may be. And if that person loses that edge, it ultimately comes back and hurts you. So I agree 100%. Here's the thing I want to end with is that wherever you are, if you take your monthly expenses and divide it by four, let's just say my monthly expenses are $10,000 a month. I divide it by four, that's $2,500. Your objective should be to get to the next quadrant. So if you're in that bottom quadrant, you don't have the first 25% of the passive income to equal 25% of your expenses. Let's find a path. Let's find a plan to get us from where we are to that first step. Because once you hit that, once momentum happens, you know, Malcolm Gladwell wrote a great book on the tipping point. Once we get to that tipping point, then we can see acceleration. And sometimes this is so overwhelming that we listen to all of this information. We wait for the time to happen. Wait for have enough money. We're looking for the right experience, all of that stuff, and we don't do anything. But once we take action and we do something, and we get a little success, it's amazing how quickly. Joey and I are living proof once we put our mind and focus on creating passive income to get to that first 25%, we blew through it. So if you haven't already, I'm going to challenge you to get into the game with us. You take the Pathfinder, you raise your hand, jump on a 15-minute call with one of these coaches, let them understand your investor DNA, and let's build a plan to get you to the first 25% of your passive income to your monthly expenses. Let's do that together. So wealthwallstreet.com/passport is kind of the goal part, but you can fast forward and get into that Pathfinder course inside our community. Raise your hand, jump on a 15-minute call with these coaches, or bypass that. Just go wealthwallstreet.com/free call. Let's build a plan together so that you can get to financial freedom. Now, we've got to spend time with the people who are in our inner circle who are already on that pathway, and we're going to kind of answer their questions. So thank you, as always, for taking time, coaches, to share amazing stuff. Congratulations, Joey, for coming back to work. We're grateful that you're here.
Glad to be here.
And thank you for listening to this podcast. Please come back and listen to the next one. Have an amazing day.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.